And as you're turning over to John, the first John, the little book of John, 1 John chapter 5, I want to share with you the foundation of what I want to say this morning, because as I was waiting on the Lord on what He wanted me to minister today, He reminded me of some things that He spoke into my heart even before we began the church. And He reminded me of these things, and I think I need to remind you of these things, because here's what He said. He said that to remind the people of these things so they can keep the vision fresh and keep that vision established in their hearts. One of the things He reminded me is that people are starving for the word of faith. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, because it's like, you know, your own body. Sometimes you don't know it's in starvation because you're feeding it, but you're feeding it with the wrong things. Sometimes you don't know you're dehydrated until the symptoms come that you're dehydrated and you gotta get some liquid. The word of faith that we preach. Now listen to this. He said, you have it to give. Take my people, disciple them intensely, and drill them, and place my word deeply into their hearts. That's what the Lord spoke to me years ago. And then he reminded me, teach them the message of faith. He told me to teach the people that He would send the message of faith. Make disciples, teach them to apply the word in their daily lives. See, the word is for us to use in everyday living. Teach my people an uncommon faith to help them stand victorious in life and for them to be able to help themselves so that they can reach out to others. Take them from milk to meat. A lot of people, they want to stay on the bottle. From religion to reality. Some people like to stay in religion, you know. Good thing we don't have cameras yet. And drill them. And work them. Now here's the part I'm going to give you today. And work them in the Word. So I have to come back today and teach you some things about the Word of God. Because actually, the Word of God is what causes you to overcome in this life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for whatever, or we could say whoever, is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, we know our faith comes from God. Our faith has been given to us in a measure when we received Jesus. We had to hear something about God. Amen? And that measure of faith was deposited. Now, if you will, just go back to your left there to James, the first chapter. Now, let me say this before I begin here. Many people go to church every week. Well, some people don't go every week, but they might go every other week or every other month or Easter. Oh, I shouldn't use that word. Or Christmas. Yeah, probably. We just better stick with the Bible, amen. Some people just come to church when they want to. But the point is this, is they come, they listen, but they don't hear. You remember when you did something wrong as a kid, your mama said, are you listening to me? You say, yeah, but you didn't hear a thing she said. But when your daddy come home and said, "You hear me, son?" So there's a difference between listening and hearing. See, some people just come to church and they listen. Was the service good? Yeah, it was real good. Well, what did they say? I don't know, but it was good. So we got to learn the difference. Amen? Now look at this. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." Now, oh man, we want an overflow or an abundance of good things. Not abundance or an overflow of wicked things. Now, how's this going to happen? It says, "And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." In other words, the word of God has to come into us. It comes into our heart in the form of a seed. Now, our heart is the soil or the seed bed by which the word is planted. Now, as that word begins to grow and we begin to mature, then we begin to overcome the world. Okay? Now, here's what it says. But, verse 22, "Be doers of the word." Doers of the word and not hearers only. Because what happens if we just listen to the word, but we don't hear it, we'll never do it. And if we don't ever do it, then we're deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, we could say, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he himself, or for he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. In other words, when you get away from the word, you get away from what you are. You get away from who you are. You get away from what the word says that you can have. Now he goes on to say something else. Look at this. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," the word "look" there means to stoop down and look intensely. In other words, you've got a Bible there in your laps, and you should bring a Bible to a church like this. And you should look at the scriptures as they're being read to you. And you should look intensely, just like if you're walking along and all of a sudden you see something on the ground, maybe it's a quarter, maybe it's a 50-cent piece, or maybe it's a $20 bill. You know, you stop and you look and you say, "Wow." There's a difference between just driving 60, 70 miles an hour down the road and saying, "Oh man, look at the mountains, look at the trees, look at the forest." And there is, "Look at that mountain. Look at that forest. Look at the birds." You see what I'm talking about? It tells us that we need to look intensely, to bring it close to us so we can focus in on what God is saying in His Word. Because the closer we can bring the Word, the more we filter out what everything else is going on around us. So he says, "But he who looks," verse 25, follow me here, "he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it." Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, "You are my disciple if you continue in my word." How many of you want to be just be more than just saved. Be more than just a Christian in name only. Okay. He says, but continues in it. What? The Word. Continues in the Word. And not a forgetful hearer. Now you should get a hold of these things. Because we say a lot of things in 45 minutes or an hour, you know. And the mind, the brain, I mean, do you realize your brain is a muscle up there that could has the capacity to house the entire library or Congress library, Library of Congress, whatever they call that thing, with all the material in there and still have capacity left? Amen. So why do we come to church and use so little of our brain? I don't know. Say, I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer. But a doer of the work. He didn't say word here, but a doer of the work. In other words, now the obligation is not only do we hear it, but we do it. But in order to do it, we've got to work it. Now, we get work confused sometimes with labor and getting up in the morning and going to our job. But how many know there is a spiritual work, or we can say it this way, there is a price to pay to walk in this victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. There is a price to pay. There is a working of our faith. The Bible calls it the law of faith. Now remember, when we observe the laws of God, the principles, that's why we teach principles in this church. Things that we can take out of here today and use them every day in our life. It's great to have revelation. It's great to prophesy. It's great to, you know, do all the other things that charismatics do. But I'm telling you, when your son or your daughter or one of your children, or there's a crisis in your family, you don't need revelation. You need the power of the anointing of God to do what the Word of God says. It says, lay hands on the sick, bless God, and they shall recover. You need the Word of God working in you. Some people just want to be in a church where there's no word. If there's no word, there's going to be no victory when the time comes that you need victory. When there's little word, there's little praise. When there's little word, there's little faith. We have to learn what it says here when it says, don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be what? Oh, I want the blessings, Pastor. How do I get the blessings of God? By being a doer of the work. W-O-R-K. He said, this man will be blessed in all that he does. Now, if you want to put a title on the message, and I'll give you one. I titled it, Why Isn't It Working for Me? I put that in quotes because that's not my words, but that's things that I hear. You ever heard somebody say, well, it's just not working for me. I know it worked for you, but it's not working for me. Now, we got to change that mentality. Amen. Because the Word works. The Word has the potential to work for anybody. For everybody. So, if it's not working for you, it's because you're not doing the work. Now, let me read on here. Are y'all with me so far? Amen. What does... Look over in chapter 2. Let's read verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? No. I'll just answer it for you. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, in other words, if you see a need or you see someone in need, and one of you says to them, verse 16, depart in peace, be warm filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does your faith profit you? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The last thing that you and I want to be operating in this world is by or through dead faith. Verse 20. Can you take some more? Okay. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Or in other words, faith without proper action or a corresponding action is dead. You have heard the word, but you didn't apply an action to the word that you heard. There was no corresponding action, so the Bible calls your faith dead. Look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Now you know that. If you took the spirit out of this body, I mean, it'd just fall flat, dead and adorn it. So as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So if we're not in a place where we're receiving the engrafted word that's able to save our soul, and we're not graduating beyond the place of just hearing the word, but becoming a doer of the word so we can become a doer of the works. If we don't become a doer of the work, then the Bible says that our faith is dead. Are you following what I'm saying? Now I hear people say things like, well, why can't I hear from God? Well, God is speaking. God is speaking right now. No, I'm not God, but God is speaking through me. Amen. God speaks through His Word. The Holy Spirit will go off on the inside of you like an explosion. There should be a word explosion going off on the inside of you every time you come into an anointed word preaching arena. Amen. The Word should come alive on the inside of you if you're born again. Whosoever is born of God, he said, overcome the world. This is the victory that we have. Even our faith. Are you with me? Okay. So here's what I want to show you this morning. To every promise, or we could say to every prayer. Now get this point. To every prayer, to every promise that's in this word, there is the God part, and there is the man part. Now don't be fooled and don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not a man that he should lie. God's word, remember, is forever settled. Let God be true and every man a liar. So, God's part has already been done. God's part has already been done. He has sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus paid the price at Calvary's cross. He has redeemed and purchased, if you will, man that was dead in sin and trespass. And any man that can believe on the Lord Jesus and call upon Him can be saved. Thanks be unto God, remember, who always causes me to triumph. Every good and every perfect gift, I quote these scriptures to you a lot, comes down from the Father of lights above. So the fact of the matter is, God's done His part. God cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is forever settled. Okay? So there's God's part. And how many know and understand God's already done His part? There's nothing else that God can do for you. Now get that into your thinking. God, there's nothing else God can do for you. If He's done everything for you, there's nothing else left to do. Come on. If you ask for me something, I said, I've given you everything I got. Well, can you give me something? I just give you everything I got. Well, can you give me something, though? I just give you everything I got. No, but can you give? God has given you everything He's got. He's given you healing. He's given you eternal life. He's given you prosperity. He didn't just give you one slice of the pie. He gave you the whole cake. Are you with me? But you see, where we get messed up is the man part. Is the man part. Doing our part. Now, I had several directions I could have gone in this message today, but this is the word the Lord gave me and said, faith without works is dead. And to remind you of these things, that maybe, just maybe, we are not doing our part. And that's why we don't receive the total package of benefits that God has already given to us. Maybe, just maybe, there is a part that we are not working, because we have to be a doer of the work. Not talking about physical things, but we're talking about spiritual things. Are you doing the things that the Word of God says to do so that change can come to your life? How much is it worth to you? How valuable is a successful life and a life full of joy and peace and a life of abundance? How much is it worth to you to have? I believe some people don't think it's worth very much, so they don't feel like it's worth having. And if they don't feel like it's worth having, they're not going to work for it. Now, I'm not talking about working for grace. I'm talking about working the word. Doers of the work. The spiritual things it takes to do man's part. Now, in the book of Hebrews, if you'll turn over there right quick. Are y'all with me? Okay. I believe that the Word of God is working mightily in you today. I'm doing my part. I'm standing up here after spending time with God, teaching and preaching to you and proclaiming the Word of God so that you can receive it engrafted into you so that it can save your soul. Because that's really what you're trying to do. I didn't say get saved. How many of you are saved? Well, now you're trying to save your soul. Amen. And the Word of God, the engrafted Word, is able to save it. Come on, somebody. Hebrews chapter 3, let's read 12, 13, 14. We just don't have time to read everything, but let's read 12. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now notice that God calls unbelief an evil heart. See, there's a lot of people that come into church, but they don't believe. They're listening to the sermon, but they're not hearing the sermon. Because you have to hear it in order to become a doer of the work. Now, he says that any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We talked in 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's things that will take us away from God. It says, but exhort one another how often? What? See, in other words, you have to do what it takes daily to get the results. What happens if you stop bathing and brushing your teeth daily? Why do we think it's different with the Word of God? Why do we tend to think that the Word of God doesn't have to be worked? God's already done His part. Now He's showing us what our part is. Can I read it to you again? It says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If you don't take a continual, steady, consistent diet of the Word of God, you will lapse back or fall back into sin. Sin will begin to dominate or take back dominion in your life. When the Word is lacking, sin will be lurking. For we have become partakers of Christ, the anointing. 1 John, if we keep reading there, tells us that the anointing abides in us. But the anointing has to be drawn out. The anointing is there, but it has to be drawn out. When the brother yielded a while ago, it's because he was drawing out of the anointing that's already on the inside of him. You have to step out in faith. You step out in faith because the Word of God has been deposited down into your spirit. There's a daily deposit of spiritual things that are deposited in your heart, in your life, so that when it needs to resurrect, when it needs to come up out of there, there's something there. Have you ever tried to go to the bank and make a withdrawal when you don't have anything in it? They look at you real funny. But there's Christians all the time wanting to make withdrawals. He says, we have become partakers of Christ if. Now see, there's that word if. If ands and buts were duts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. If. In other words, now it's my part. If. If what? If we hold the beginning of our confidence, what? Steadfast. Steadfast. We don't waver. We don't drift to and fro. Bible says, let not that man think he will receive nada, nothing from the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his or her ways. Are you following what I'm telling you? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the Lord, understanding God saved me, God discovered me, God washed me with His blood, God has given me everything in this life that I need to overcome. He's given me all power over the power of the devil. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that redeemed, purchased me, bought me, filled me with His Holy Spirit, put the precious gifts and the callings that He says that are without repentance. My part is to say, okay, God, my purpose is to know You and to let You be known through my life. Don't become weary in well-doing. You come to church and I exhort you, but you ought to be exhorted daily. We ought to be exhorting one another. Because the Bible says, in due season we shall reap. If we don't become weary, feeble, unsteadfast in doing well. Well, oh man, if you examine people's lives that are falling apart in certain areas, you'll find, if that person is honest and you really do discovery, you'll find that that person is lacking in that area, the Word of God. Whatever it may be, financial, physical, healing. You know, I was reading something about Pastor Cho's church, Young B. Cho, that guy that has in Korea that has the largest church in the world. Over 800,000 people come to that church every week. Now listen to this. They have a rule in their church. Say somebody is having marital problems. You don't go directly into the pastor. You don't go directly into counseling. You come in and they give you a set of things that you must do before you can receive counseling. You know what it is? Say you have marital problems. They say, okay, we want you to go, you and your spouse, up to Prayer Mountain for 3 days with your Bible and some water, and you fast and pray those 3 days. Amen. And when you come back, we'll talk to you. Now, most of them that come back, they got it solved. Now, you try that in an American church. Well, bless God, they don't want to talk to me. I'll just go somewhere else where they'll talk to me. See, how bad do you want it to work? How bad do you want your marriage? How bad do you want your life to work? How bad do you want your body healed? You have to, somebody said it, be a doer of the work. It's work to read your Bible. It's work to dig into the Scripture. It's work to get up and pray. It's work to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. It's just as much work as you going out there laying brick for 8 hours a day. Maybe even more. Are you with me? So I know there's different levels of maturity. I mean, it does not matter what your chronological age is. Do you know that in the things of God? I've seen people in their 50s, 60s that were dumber than a doorbell. I mean, I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Now, they may be smart in the world, and some people try to be so analytic, hermeneutical, you know, all that stuff, and they can't receive from God. But, and I've seen some in the 20s that are very mature. So it really has nothing to do. It has everything to do with how are you resisting every day on a daily basis, because consistency is the key. Amen. Consistency. Staying in a constant state of resisting the devil, because the devil does not take any time off. There has to be something spiritually resisting the opposing force every day. Just like a dam that's holding back water. Are you listening? That dam can't stop being a dam, because there is an opposing force of the water that wants to push it out. That dam has to be stronger than the opposing force of the water. Yeah. So my question would be is, what kind of resistance are you putting up in order to not be overtaken or overcome by the world, by the forces of the demonic activity. Maturity depends on what you do on a daily basis. Your success depends on what you do every day. Habits are formed by what you do consistently. Alcoholics, it's good or bad. Alcoholics don't just become an alcoholic. It takes a progression. What do? They start with a small drink. They start doing it once a day, and that begins to increase until all of a sudden they're an alcoholic, or all of a sudden they're a drug addict. Well, what would happen if you made a daily deposit of spiritual things into your life, and you begin to develop a habit of a daily deposit of spiritual things in your life? Say, well, I don't like the church where they make us spiritually accountable. Then be sick. Be poor. Be harassed by the devil. Don't have any joy. Don't have any peace. Let your world just cave in on you then. You see. No, the Word's working in us. Now, because of time... Proverbs 8:34 and 35 says, blessed is the man who listens to me. You better thank God for somebody to stand up and preach the Word. Amen. Blessed is the man that listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Wow. There has to be an anticipation. I remember when I was a little kid, they would tell me grandma and grandpa was coming. Boy, I'd get so excited. I'd ride my bicycle up to the street corner and wait for hours so I could get the first glimpse of their car coming. There has to be that type of, if you will, an excitement about coming in to receive the Word of God. The Bible calls it the engrafted Word. It's able to save our soul. Verse 35 says, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. See, we have opportunities every day to find God and to find even more of Him. You can have as much of God as you want. You will never exhaust. It's inexhaustible. Isaiah 58:2. Let me just kind of hurry and give you these. You follow me and put them up. Yea, they that seek me daily. And what? Delight to know my ways. And the last part of that says, and they delight in approaching God. It's talking about a daily dose, if you will, of the Word of God, of spiritual things, doing the work it takes to keep yourself spiritually strong in the Lord. I can tell you, when I take a day off and do not feed my spirit, I pay for it. It doesn't matter how seasoned or how long you've been in the Lord. Because some days we get busy. Hello. And we get too busy for God, we think. And we try to fit God in our schedule. And you know what? We get goofed up. We get messed up. We have to be at a place in our life where we are never too busy for God. People say, well, I just don't have enough time. Pastor, you've got as much time as everybody else. Remember? There's 24 hours in everybody's day, even with daylight saving time. What you have to do is start confessing, I have enough time and I will seek God with the time that I have and He'll redeem my time. Do you see the difference? But I can assure you, you start leaving out that daily deposit of the Word of God, you will have a deficit in your account and there will be hell to pay. Luke 9:23 says, if any man or woman desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, what? daily and follow me. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday nights, but daily. Most of us try to fit the Word into our busy schedule. Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience," or the King James says, unbelief. The Bible calls unbelief disobedience. It calls it sin. Are you with me? Disobedience, talking about the children of Israel, because they did not mix the Word with faith. And so the Word did not profit them. We have to be diligent to enter in to that rest. We have to learn to not just hear the Word and do the Word, but do the works of the Word. And get our mentality adjusted, because there are things that are going on around us constantly. There are pressures from the enemy constantly. The water is pressing against the dam constantly. The devil is out there trying to take and steal and kill and destroy, and he's not letting up. In the last days, the Bible says it will even wax worse and worse. It'll become even worse because people's hearts, they will fail because of the evil that is coming upon the earth. So we have to, in the last days, become more students of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God, listen to me, that's going to produce our confession. And when we speak, listen, when we confess the Word, we are speaking faith. Amen. Come on. When we confess the Word, we are speaking faith. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily," again, while it's called today, "lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So, what does it take, Pastor? What does it take to get the desired results that we want? Now, I put together some things here, but we got to get out of the mental realm and stop saying, if you're saying it, because in my position, I hear a lot of people say a lot of things. A lot of things, they don't realize what they're saying. But remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. And you really don't know what's inside of you until you're squeezed, until you're pushed into a corner, until you're shoved down. You don't know what's inside of you. And if you don't know what's inside of you, you're not going to be assured of what's going to come out. And what comes out is what's going to determine where you're going to end up. And I put together, let me give you these quickly because we're almost out of time, but maybe I'll have to put them in the bulletin or something. But I call it a checklist. The man part. The actual, if you will, doing the work of the Word. Okay, I got a few up here. Let me just give them to you, because if you want victory in place of defeat, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your physical body, whether it be in your finances, I'm telling you something this morning. You're going to have to work the Word. Amen. How valuable is it to you? How important is it to you to be successful in your walk and your life as a Christian? Let me give these to you right quick because of time. First of all, you got to realize that the source of all your opposition, all this opposition, this resistance that I've been talking about, you got to realize that all your resistance is from the devil. Hey, are you hearing? Because people get confused. They think God made them have that car wreck, or God caused them to have that sickness. It doesn't come from God. You have to settle that. The dividing line is imprinted in the Word of God. It is the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Amen. Jesus come to give us life, and life more abundantly. We have to find. Now, this is your part. You got to change that mentality realm of why this isn't working for me and declare the Word is working mightily in me. The second thing is that you got to find the Scriptures or the Word. Notice I said you got to find them. Now, if you don't know how to do it, we'll help you do it. But you got to find Scriptures that pertain to your situation. What are you in? What kind of crises? What kind of situation are you in? You ought to find at least three Scriptures in the Bible. And you need to confess those Scriptures. Are you with me? I confess Scripture all the time. I'm constantly saying, and by His stripes I'm healed. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I'm above and not beneath. The Lord giveth His angels charge over me. I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. My leaves will not wither, and whatsoever I put my hand to do will prosper. That's not being cocky. That's quoting what Jesus said. The Bible says, speak the Word. Are you with me? So, it takes some work to get those Scriptures on the inside of you. Are you praying? Now listen to this one. Are you praying both in your language, whether it's Spanish or English or Chinese or whatever you speak? And are you praying in tongues? Well, Pastor, I don't speak in tongues. Well, you need to. Because when you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. The Bible says that you build up your most holy faith when you pray in tongues. Are you with me? So there has to be time spent in prayer. How many know that's labor? That's work. You got to be diligent. You got to be consistent at it. I mean, it's good to have people pray for you. It's good to have prayer of agreements. But it's even better when you have a Scripture that you can stand on, when you have a Scripture that you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what Your Word says. I declare it. I receive it. I believe that I receive. Now, isn't that stronger than, would you pray for me, please? I mean, listen, all I'm trying to do is get you to be spiritually accountable. Don't get mad. I want you to be able to stand, bless God. When having done all to do to stand, stand therefore. Resist the devil and let him flee. Find the Scriptures pertaining to your situation. And then faithfully confess those Scriptures daily. Say daily. That's what it said. Exhort one another daily. It said do these things daily, okay? Are you praying both in your language and tongues? Do you take time to meditate on the Scriptures? Get these now. Do you take time to meditate on the Scripture? I'm talking about quiet time with the Lord. Remember, stoop down, take a look. Don't just listen, but hear and let it go into you, you know, so you can chew on it. Are you with me? Do you continually thank God for the answer? Well, I haven't got anything yet, Pastor. Well, faith thanks God before he ever sees the answer. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. Are you there? Faith says, I have it the moment I speak it. I believe it. I receive it. You're not waiting on your salvation. Come on. How many of you believe you're already saved? Okay. Are you acting? See, are you just doing what it takes to get the job done? Are you doing the man part? Are you acting as if you already have the desired results? Remember, faith says, I believe that I receive. Are you being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only? Are you just a Sunday morning Christian that casually tips toes through the tulips, you know, and and then let the devil and everything else gradually overtake and overcome you? Do you spend time daily praising and worshiping God? Or do you just go into church and do it when there's some music and there's some lights and, oh, thank you, Jesus? No, it has to be a daily lifestyle of praise and worship. Do everything that is your part to do. Do you listen? Now listen to this one. Do you listen to the Word of God by other faith people, men or women, that preach the Word of faith, whose faith you can follow? Big difference. That's how serious this is, folks. Hey, I got an iPod, but I don't, you know, I don't have to have a bunch of, I got some Word on it too. Are you with me? You got to constantly, daily, say daily. Here's a good one for you. Are you fasting from time to time? When's the last time you went without a meal and just got alone to seek God? Well, we did that in January, Pastor. Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about a 21-day fast. I'm just talking about missing your lunch, maybe. You got a problem? You got a crisis? Just get off in your car and go get in the parking lot and just get your Bible in your lap and worship God, read the Word, seek God. Are you doing your part? The man part. Come on up, brother. I'm almost done. Are you praying daily? Now, you that have family, you that have children, you that have a family life, are you having that family daily devotional? So you got to stop running. Because if you keep running, the problem's going to run over you. Hello. Are you tithing all of your increase in faith? Hello? Are you tithing? Are you giving in faith? Not just because the pastor says, but there's a difference between that Malachi 3 tithing in the Genesis 12 tithing. We tithe, we give because we love God. Whew. Can you take a few more? Have you allowed doubt and unbelief to enter your thinking process? The Bible calls unbelief sin, right? Doubt will rob us of our faith. Have you rolled the care of the situation over on the Lord? See, some of you think something's wrong with you if you don't worry. Well, if I don't worry about who it is, no, well, just roll it over in Jesus. Because if you're worrying, that's a sin also. Say, why is it a sin? Because Jesus told you not to worry. If you do something Jesus told you not to do, that's a sin, isn't it? Okay. Are you tolerating contrary thoughts to the Word of God that you're standing on? I'm telling you, people will try to get you off base. Sometimes people are not helping you. I mean, they have good intentions. But you can't be entertaining all their negative thoughts and their negative ideas and their negative connotations. You stand on the Word. We walk by faith and not by sight. Y'all begin to realize the difference between charismatic and, you know, hallelujahs and a place where the Word of God is being taught. Not just a sermon to have a sermon, but a message that we can apply. Couple more here. Are you walking in sin? Boy, I'm going to tell you something. That'll get you every time. I said, it'll get you every time. Have you done a self-evaluation of your life? Are you walking in the right attitude? Are you walking in love towards other people? Jealousy, envy, strife. Bible says where those things are, there's every kind of evil work. Well, if you're in contention with somebody or jealous of somebody, man, there's evil things going all, like explosion going all around you. You're going to get some fallout from it. Here's one for you. Are you correctable? Are you teachable? I guess some of the most hard-headed people I have met are people that are in the church. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those that they know it all. Try to tell them, yeah, I know that. I know that. No, I know that. I know that. Well, why aren't you doing it? Well, the Bible says that all Scripture is profitable for what? For reproof, instruction in righteousness, and correction. Because that's what, you know, disciplines. I'm going to talk about that Wednesday night. You know, how God disciplines us. Are you a faithful servant? I'll get Mimi to put these in the bulletin for you. But are you a faithful? This is a prescription list. This is a pastor's checklist for you. Your part, the man part. Are you a faithful servant? Are you faithful in whatever you're doing? Whether you're serving God on your job or in your church. Are you faithful? And here's, you know, I could say, are you faithful or are you an obnoxious, stiff-necked, opinionated pain to be around? I mean, no, there are some obnoxious, stiff-necked pain to be around people. Don't punch anybody. Just say not me. Say, I've had my attitude adjusted. Praise God. And last one. Do you keep your word to others? Are you filled with integrity and honesty? There are those that say things, but even though their intentions are good, they don't keep their word. That'll stop your faith. We have to do what we say we will do. Happens all the time. Happens all the time in church. Could be just as something as simple as nursery duty. Well, you know, this is your week to do nursery, Mom. And don't even show up. And don't even call anybody and tell anybody you're not coming. How many know that's not being faithful? Try doing that on your job. Hello? Are you full of integrity? We're talking about getting ourselves to a place where we can examine. We don't have any root of bitterness. We don't have anything in our hearts. Nothing that would stop our faith from working, because our faith is what is going to put us over the hump. Are we confessing the word? Because the Bible says we will have what we say. Do you believe that? If we don't what? Doubt in our heart, but believe those things that we say. I want you to stand up with me on your feet. How many would like to be a part of a church where you're held spiritually accountable? Thank you. If I got that, two or three hand claps. That won't. That'll speak to you. Not talk down. I'm not talking down to anybody. I'm just telling you what the vision is here. What God's called us to do here is to teach people, drill that word into them. Because you don't have me around all the time. But you have Jesus around. And Jesus is the living Word. Amen. You're going to get into some crises. You're going to get into some situations. You live long enough, you're going to get into some things. They're going to give you a bad report someday. But you know what? Whose report are you going to believe? Amen. There's some of you that have come in to this thing. You come in messed up. And you know, I'm going to just be honest with you. You learn right quick. You don't unscramble eggs. But I can assure you, it took you years, months to get into your messes. I don't know how long it will take you to get out of it. But I can assure you, if you continue in the Word, it won't take you as long to get out of it as it took you to get into it. So that's what we do. That's what we do. We just teach people the Word and how to stand on it for themselves.